This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, I should do that?
Yeah.
That's Justin's job.
That's true. But I did get the notification, at least, on one thing, so it seems like we're live somewhere. So we're just
you want me to put that? I put it on right now.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Hey, everybody.
Hi, guys.
I know I don't have any. I don't have too much ice in my...
Well, I'm told there are people that don't like it, Anish. I can't believe it.
You should do it louder and longer.
Yeah, exactly. That's always the best thing to do. If someone doesn't like it, go further. Dig deeper into it.
That's kind of
the Norm MacDonald way of doing
exactly,
things.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, look at us. Look at us here to talk the NBA.
The NBA.
Boiler Dad's favorite topic. We've got, I suppose I'm hosting, the handsome-ish basketball beat-ish.
Handsome-ish, sure.
It's a quick cast. It's a small one. You know what I mean?
I'll have you know that I've lost 5 pounds in the last 8 weeks. So I'm out.
Just water weight?
I was gonna say. Hopefully, it's not.
You look like it's warm. Is it warm right there? Is it warm in Texas?
It's a little toasty here in the great state of Texas. So
hopefully, it's not any sort of stomach bug. It's mostly diarrhea weight, is what you're telling me.
It's mostly diarrhea.
Yes. Just green chili sauce.
Yes.
That'll do it to me.
I'm not a New Mexican. It's not
really okay, my bad.
So I suppose it's Anish here, along with Boiler Dowd and the Railroad Tie, a.k.a. Michael, our basketball expert. This is our basketball expert panel.
Totally.
Exactly. And we're here to react to... What, 5 years ago, the number 400 and something to recruit being drafted number 9.
483.
480. It's basic. That's a made-up number, by the way, because they're just like, at that point, it's like...
You're
a basketball player with legs, and you're going to, you know, a school to play basketball. Has been drafted...
There are not a lot of guys that go D1 that don't have...
Hey, but there's that football player that didn't have a hand, and he's still playing DB. That rules. Awesome. Yeah. That rules. Zach Edey has all of his limbs. It's pretty great. And he was drafted 9th to the Memphis Grizzlies. So I think we can start before, like, you know, talking about the fits and things like that, just by, like, again, appreciating. And we'll go non-big head mode here because it's three of us. Just like how remarkable of a story like Zach was. I mean, like,
I haven't heard the story before.
I know exactly. It's like I saw the
you play baseball.
I saw the baseball and hockey pictures, and honestly, it's like it's the same thing that I was talking about during the Final Four, which is like this is the last time that we're going to see this as Purdue people. He's now going to be an NBA product, and it's going to be, you know, like NBA highlights. And show me it as many times as possible, you know, while still in a Purdue context. I love it. Tell the story.
Hey, speaking of, can I tell you a little, because I wanted to do this early. We have some insider information what Zach's doing tonight. It wasn't shown on, I don't know if it's been shown on TV since then.
No, I was hoping they'd cut into it. But
yeah, so was I. But we know what Zach's doing right now. We know where he is and we know what he's eating.
What is he? What, pray tell, could he be eating?
He is eating the tastiest catering in all the land. Pulled pork.
Oh my!
Italian beef.
Oh my!
Macaroni and cheese bites.
Where can you get all of this?
AJ's, Adam and Jake, I believe. I know at least half of the dynamic duo are there at Coach Painter's house, handing out delicious foods to the team.
Listen,
and if you can't go to Coach Painter's house for a draft party, you should just go to the store. Go to AJ's. Head towards the fire station, and then go right in, and you're gonna get the same sort of quality food that Julia Edey ordered for her son's draft party earlier this week.
What other endorsements do you need right now? If it's good enough for Zach Edey while he gets drafted in the top 10, going to play with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson, good enough for you. It's good enough for you.
Number 9 pick, Zach Edey. I got to tell you, so there are things that have been great for me, honestly, over the last few months, just to say a collective suck it to everyone on social media that's outside the Purdue family. This was another one of those moments. I don't know about you guys. Some things have just annoyed the heck out of me. And granted, these could all be 12 and 13 year olds on there with AI generated images in their emojis.
I mean, that's Twitter right now, basically.
Right. But all the people that said Zach Edey was going to go second day and all that, I'm like, I don't know the NBA like you guys do. I don't claim to know it. But what I know is I'm annoyed when potential is picked before what you actually know. And we know there's a commodity in Zach Edey that's worth a lot to a team that uses him correctly. I mean, that to me, it's that simple. I don't care what level you're at. I don't care where you're playing basketball. The guy has some worth. I didn't get all the way in the discussion. I didn't. Abraham, I don't know if you guys know this. Abraham Lincoln used to write notes, and then he would seal the note, and then he'd put it in his desk, and he wouldn't send it. I did that on Twitter like 10 times today where I wrote a reply, and I'm like, stop it.
With your fountain pen?
Yes. That's the thing. I write many of my Twitter replies with fountain pen.
Correct.
I don't know if you guys don't, you're not classy.
I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. It's either a fountain pen or my fat thumbs with my horrible vision that it's combining to. O's and I's are a problem. There's a lot of of's which should be ifs.
You put work into it, though. You've gotten better. Thank you.
But I think, you know how I've gotten better? I just wear my glasses more. My wife is complaining now right now. She's like, I don't know if this keyboard's gotten worse. I said, no, you can't see anything. I went through about a year and a half where I was trying to live the lie that that I could see still. Or I'd wake up different. As you get old, guys, you guys will hate this. But you're going to have days where you're like, yeah, I can see fine. And then you're like.
Michael, do you wear glasses?
I wear contacts. Can you hear me okay?
Okay. Yeah, it's a little bit it's a little bit quiet. I can just like get out of bed and see, which is great. And so it's like I know it's like wait until the eyes pop out of my head.
I feel like you shouldn't brag about being able to get out of bed and see and brag about your hair. Like you should only have one of those. That's great. Right?
I know. I at least for now. Exactly. All I'm saying is for now. It's all temporary, man. It's all temporary. So to get to the potential point, I actually think that that's where kind of Zach is unique, right? Where we know that he's only been playing basketball, if you didn't know, for 6 years right now. And for two of them, he was the best in the sport. And so it's like he is still growing. There are things that he was allowed to do or that he wasn't allowed to do at Purdue because it didn't benefit kind of winning. But it would be like, you know, but an NBA team is going to kind of count on it. So it's like Zach isn't going to be it looks like Boiler Dad is having technical difficulties. We'll figure that out. Zach wasn't allowed to get into foul trouble. So I think like the way that he contested at the rim, right? It wasn't like nearly as aggressive as it possibly could have been. And so that to me is huge. Cause if you're playing 30 minutes, 35 minutes in a college game and you're the best player on the court, it's a lot different than, you know, if you're the seventh, eighth man and you're playing 10, 15 minutes, like he's going to be a load and he's going to be allowed to foul, right?
I think so. And I think that he is this interesting mix of know what he's capable of doing. And he's got enough potential that he's worth taking a flyer on. I think in this draft, you know, we can talk about how this draft is perhaps like historically weak, like top to bottom. And it results in him landing in, I think, a pretty good position where he'll be able to do the things that we know that he can do, but also be given maybe a little bit more rope to learn. Because I do think there's going to be a decent adjustment period.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I think
he was drafted on being the two-time National College Player of the Year.
And he was, wasn't he drafted to start right away?
I don't think he's going to, no, he's not going to start, but I do think on Memphis, like, I think particularly, you know, Zach Kinect, who's also, I think he's also 22. Like, there are a couple, because to Michael's point, because there are no shooting stars, like clear, you know, not even Wembanyama, but like, there's no Paolo Banchero. There's nobody even close to anybody as good as Paolo Banchero in this draft. So what you get are, towards the top of the draft, people that you know can contribute, you know, being drafted, you know, a little bit higher. This is why, like, I think Kinect in a normal year wouldn't go lottery. He's slipping out of the lottery right now, but like, he's going to go in the top 20. Same thing with Zach. I don't know in last year's draft, I don't know if Zach goes nine. Zach obviously doesn't go nine.
That made his decision easier.
And I mean, like, what a great decision too. I mean, Painter kind of, you know, advised him on
it. For the three of us, it was a very good decision.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the four of us now that J Money, the handsome J Money, has joined. Even in his draft stock, I mean, he went from maybe second rounder again to not maybe second rounder, he's a solid second rounder to, like, you know, he grew his game. He was a lot more conditioned. And so it's like, this is the kind of stuff where it's like, I don't think, I understand where a lot of people are saying, you know, the NBA game is a little bit different. And, you know, it's, you know, you're not going to form an offense around Zach Edey post-ups in the NBA, right? But again, Zach isn't going to be playing anywhere close to that. And he's also going to be allowed to shoot. I don't know. Like,
he's going to be expected to shoot. And I think this shows the margin of luck that goes into these types of things. Because if he gets drafted last year and he goes in the second round, he's not going to get the same opportunities or the same investment from whatever franchise would have drafted him. And you pretty much only have a couple shots, and then Europe starts looking pretty attractive. This year, he's, you know, you don't give up on the number 9 pick very fast. He's going to a team that could really use him, that really underperformed for a variety of reasons last year, but they're better than their record. So I think that that it just, the timing just worked out.
I mean, I, you know, talking about his Memphis fit, first of all, Memphis, because, you know, first, like, the injury, the Ja Morant, you know, not injury, but the Ja Morant situation, let's call it. Exactly.
Ongoing situation.
Yeah, exactly. They also got hit with the injury bug, where if you pull up their basketball reference, their roster list is comically long for a sport where you can only carry 15 players on a roster. There are like 30 players listed. And so it's like, they need depth. They need contributors in the biggest way. They do need size next to Jaren Jackson. You know, Jonas Valanciunas kind of, you know, has been one of the comparisons for Zach, again, a long time ago, former Grizzly, but it's like, there is no player that can, like, dependable player in Memphis either that can play next to or behind Edey. What's his name from Michigan State that now ended up like in a backup role in Boston was the closest to, oh my gosh, what's his name? It'll hit me eventually. But he was the closest. He used to be on Memphis, was cut, and then ended up on Boston contributing. He was kind of
the guy that, he's not the guy who played shooting for it, is it, that Purdue is interested in?
No. Yeah, yes. They were recruited. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. I thought he was coming to Purdue out of high school. Yeah.
But, and so he was the closest this year that, So Jaren Jackson, like, he's going to be, you know,
he's a beast, right?
He's really good. And that's the thing. Like, Zach is going to be kind of, you know, muscle behind, either behind or next to Jaren Jackson.
Goodness gracious. I don't know if it's dead. Is it dead on your side?
No,
we're good. I was just saying that he fits in nicely with a Jaren Jackson.
Yeah, I think so.
There's from a fit standpoint, that one, that works. So.
Yeah. I mean, it makes a ton of sense. They were the first team that I thought actually made sense to or not the first team, but the highest team that made sense to draft him. There were some kind of bets going around that was like Zach going in the top 10. And it was like, I really just didn't see that it was, you know, that it was kind of a possibility. But like, I thought Memphis would trade down. I thought he would be available a little bit later. Meanwhile, IU center Khalil Ware like gets drafted 15. Zach gets drafted higher than the kind of traditional IU, you know, powerful, underperforming power, athletic power forward big. So that's enjoyable to me. I think IU has that, what, every year. They have one of those kind of drafted, you know, in the top 15. And we don't hear from them ever. So that's fun. I think we talked about this, speaking of like fits, but like we talked about where my favorite fit was for, you know, for Zach. I think Memphis is a great one. I know that some Memphis fans, because of how fast the Grizzlies can play, are a little bit skeptical. I think Zach is going to be perfectly fine because we know like how he adapts to it. But yeah, Jay Money, man. Like the Knicks, I loved his fit, especially after the Bridges trade. Like they need some size that can contribute right away.
Why did you love the fit? Just because of the size and the fact that he would work hard for a coach that would appreciate him working hard?
I think the style of player that Miami, that Spo likes recently, is not Zach anymore, unfortunately. But that same like ethos of like heat culture, like always play, like all like be tough, like all of these kind of things is very similar to the way Tom Thibodeau, you know, runs it. And right. I think like Zach is a perfect like Tibbs player.
So but when Tibbs gets fired in 2 seasons, then exactly. Where did that leave? Like,
yeah, well then he's playing for the coach that beat him in the national title game. He's, you know, so like I think that makes perfect.
I think that's.
I mean, or Jay Wright, I suppose, but.
Jay Wright is not going back.
He's not taking that job.
He does not want.
Jay Wright is living like the best life that you can possibly.
Jay Wright did what we would all want to do. He won. He's a god there, and he's young enough that he can still enjoy life. And he got out, and he's rich.
And he's
like, what is?
He's a god everywhere. Everybody loves Jay Wright. Everybody thinks he's just the best.
Like, think about him versus Hurley too. Nobody really likes Hurley except UConn fans. And even they will turn on him the second he's gone. Like, Jay Wright is beloved, you're right, by everybody. Former, like, Villanova, opponents of Villanova, people, that's why he's so good on TV. Yeah, that's, but he has no, why would you ever go coach? And unless you had some itch to coach in the NBA, which a lot of them do, I don't know
if Wright is built like that.
I think he could have by now. But didn't he get approached by the Sixers when he was still at Villanova? I feel like they wanted
He got interviewed or he got recruited or whatever, you know, not recruited.
I
but
think
he was
they
like,
had some conversations, but I don't
exactly.
Think
and I don't think it ever kind of turned into anything. And that was actually when I think Doc Rivers like ended up hired, and nobody ever regrets hiring Doc Rivers.
No, but yet somehow among the all time greatest coaches per the NBA 75th anniversary team, Doc Rivers.
It makes me so happy.
Just because of how absurd it is?
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But it sucks because I wish, again, another team that Zach, I think, would have fit really well, you know, with. But, like, you know, now he's coaching one of my favorite players in Giannis in Milwaukee. And it's like, I'm glad Giannis got his title.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm glad Giannis got his title because like,
they brought him into a 30-13 team and they fell behind the Knicks in the Eastern Conference standings. It's amazing, amazing work. I want to bring this back though. I do have my one contribution. I got a hot take for you. I want to see how this one lands. I know Boiler Dad will like this one. Zach Edey will have a better pro career than Donovan Clingan, and I don't think it'll be particularly close.
Man, I gotta say, I like Donovan Clingan's game.
I don't dislike him.
No. I think in the pros, I think he's a guy that could be successful. I don't think that there are many all stars in this draft, and I'm not saying that he's one, but I think he's at least a solid career guy. The way that he plays help defense is incredible.
Yeah,
it's really. Just the type of versatility that makes you successful on the defensive end in the NBA. And if you can have that type of impact, you'll be fine. I think he'll be successful.
But if he wasn't playing for this Danny Hurley team, he'd be what, a BYU center or something? And would he even be drafted in the first round?
I just say he's a local kid. There was never any question as far as or,
like, is he from Storrs? He's from Connecticut. I know that.
He's like 20 minutes away from
Connecticut
or something. So it's really hard to say because this isn't someone that got a ton of national attention because of, you know, it was just.
Don't you think it gets boosted by playing on that UConn team? And
for doesn't Hurley, everything get boosted coming out of Storrs from by ESPN? Everything.
He's tall. He's long. He moves well. I don't know. I think he's got a really good NBA game, better than a college.
I do think though, I've come around on this because I think, you know, and maybe it was this second year. Like last year, I was a little bit more skeptical about Zach's NBA future. And strangely, for everything that I think we all kind of dislike about the, it's not the fact that players are getting paid or anything like that. It is the utter lack of organization that, you know, is going on. If only there was some sort of National Collegiate Athletic Association to organize this kind of thing. But for all of that, Purdue benefited from NIL because it made it so that it made sense for financial sense, not just development sense and like a sense, that sense of unfinished business, but like it made real like financial sense to come back to Purdue after winning player of the year last year. He boosted his stock. He showed that he wasn't plateaued in terms of both his skill set, but also his conditioning. I think the thing that stood out to me is that, you know, coming into this year, Painter wasn't shy about the fact that he was going to lean on Zach as hard, I think harder than he has leaned on anybody in his time at Purdue. Like, I don't think that any team has been built so singularly around an individual, or at least leaned so heavily on an individual player. That's not to say the others, you know, that's not to say that Braden Smith didn't shoulder a lot of burden. That's not to say that Fletcher Lawyer didn't either. But to me, it's like, everything started and ended with Zach, and he needed to be on the floor for 30 to 35 minutes a game. And the CBS Sports guys were saying the same thing. He did it, and it didn't even look like he was breaking. You can count the games where he was winded on one hand.
Yeah.
Well, and one of those games would be the national title.
Hey, but
that he scored 35 points and 7. I mean, this is the thing. I keep hearing this.
Had it going, right?
Right.
Yeah. He had to. I mean, that. This is the thing I don't understand whether it's Michael or somebody else saying that Klingon is like a shoo-in to be better than Edie. I don't understand it when you watched what we saw in the championship. I know it's a five-man game, kind of, in the NBA, but I just don't understand.
I don't know if it's a shoo-in, but I'm not as quick to write off Klingon as a pro. As like when you hear Purdue fans talk about Edie, the comparison to Klingon happens, and it's always – it's often putting down Klingon and lifting up Edie. And I think it's like, okay, both of these guys are pretty good. I don't know who's going to be
better. Do you think maybe that comes from Purdue fans hearing the same thing for like, what, 2 months? The same thing that Klingon's a shoo-in to be Edie is not, right?
But let's look at this, though. Like, Edie was drafted 9th, which should tell you that there is a bit of a disconnect. There's a significant disconnect between how the NBA media talks about these players and how the franchise is actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because if you follow this stuff at all, you quickly begin to recognize like, oh, this is a agency putting out a report in order to gain some sort of thing. This is a college coach saying a thing in order to get an outcome. It's all nonsense. It bears like only the faintest resemblance to reality. Yeah, the reality was that Edie was viewed and continued to be viewed highly by these fans.
And I think the bigger thing also is that because he's only been playing for 6 years, like, so the Lakers are picking now. Like, again, I think that Edie was the perfect blend for these teams that want immediate contributors. I thought the Lakers were a potentially great fit for him. I thought, but a disaster of a franchise. Again, if LeBron didn't come there, like that might be the worst run organization in. That's not fair.
That's not fair. Like, some pretty bad.
Edie would have gotten a ton of minutes in LA, obviously, because of the injuries, right?
Exactly. And like as a backup, and Anthony Davis prefers to play the four and not the five. And so it allows you to kind of slide him over, right? That's the same thing with Jaren Jackson. These, like Jaren Jackson, Bam Adebayo, these type of centers, that's like small ball centers, actually don't like playing center because you have to go, like, you have to body up against Jokic at some time, at some point.
Yeah,
you have.
Yeah.
But even like people like Valanciunas, even like, you know, there are kind of other non like Embiid and Jokic like centers that are out there that just tire you out, right?
Do you think there's a chance that Edie got picked, Michael and Anish, that maybe they thought Edie was French Canadian? Do you think maybe that's why?
Maybe they thought that they wanted to add some bilingual.
And then they're very, very disappointed.
Go after that very crucial, like, Tennessee French market that a lot of people overlook.
Well, the people, the Creoles from Louisiana sometimes migrate up.
It's true.
So you get that.
Yeah. Every April. Yeah.
It would have been hilarious if Zach, I mean, like, you know, my dream scenarios were if he got drafted to San Antonio or Denver or Philadelphia, where it would just be like, let's just max out on this Two Towers thing and put him next to the best centers in the NBA, or like a Two Towers with Victor Wembanyama. That would just be ridiculous.
Like that's what I thought would work. Like when I looked at it, I was like, put him with a hyper athletic 7-footer, right?
So with Jaren Jackson
Jr. is 6'11", runs like a deer.
I don't think that, I don't think that that is a bad fit, like, at all. And again, like I was saying, I think it's the highest, like, that he probably could have gotten picked. I thought that his like, ceiling, I even said it was, I think on Twitter, I said it was from 9 to 25. I thought the floor was the Knicks. Like, there's no way with the Knicks with two picks in the second round, in the 20s, and needing a center. Like, you know, there was no way he was slipping past them. But 9 to Memphis, like, even that I thought was a little bit high. And this is great. I mean, it's fantastic. And more teams now are needing that because of the kind of restrictive salary cap rules and stuff. And so all
the
of this.
Salary cap, like, is restrictive in the NBA?
Yeah, I know. Well, now.
That's the hottest take that we've heard all night.
Well, it's with these new rules, man. Like, so with the new collective bargaining agreement, if you're in the thing for 2 years, you don't get a first round pick anymore. Like, if you're in the luxury tax for two years in a row, your pick automatically goes to the end of the first round. And so it's like, these new rules are wild.
But then the luxury tax is there for that reason, to disincentivize.
I'm not saying it's a bad, thing. I like
this. No, I don't think it's a good thing. The luxury tax is already there to penalize you for spending too much, right?
Is it a penalty? Is it like the teams that pay the luxury tax?
They don't care.
Yeah, it's not my money. I don't care.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. That's more of a...
And who gets that money? Is it just... Does Anish get that too?
Yes, it
luxury tax. I always wonder things like that. Like, where does luxury tax go?
It's like the what's it called? The community, the square and Monopoly. Cash. The community set. What's it called?
It just goes. You just throw it down on a stack.
Nobody really knows what the rules are for that space. Right. I don't know.
Yeah,
who
gets it?
Yeah.
That is a good question. Where does that go? It must go to the league.
The luxury tax, I think.
Silver?
It goes to the league, and I think it gets distributed to the other team. So it's basically communism. We love communism. The only place that we accept communism is in our sports.
It's in professional sports.
Yes, exactly, to make sure that everybody has equal. I think it's a great fit, like, next to an athletic 7-footer. Like, Jaren Jackson's not quite 7 feet. But,
well, have we talked about the great fit of Zach Edey liking food and being in Memphis?
I mean, I've talked.
What's sushi like in Memphis, though? That's a serious question.
Fish it right out of the Mississippi. You're fine.
Exactly. We all know this.
So the big question with Edie, I think, is the key in the NBA. Well, for all professional sports, I think, is that second contract. Right.
Yeah.
You got to get through that first contract.
The Brian Cardinal contract. Is that
That's it. The Etuan Moore contract.
Yes. Yeah, because that's you cement your place at that second.
And
that
you
second
have generational contract. Wealth at that point too.
You, like the whole world opens up for you. So you've got he's got 4 years, right, on the rookie contract. It's like 4 years, probably like what?
What's he gonna be scraping by, guys? What pittance will he get in the first?
That's a good question. I'll look.
I think it'll be around 10. I think
10 for total
for the first year.
10 per year or 10 total?
No. 10 in the first year.
Because he is lottery that puts that up, right?
Oh, actually, right. That might be a little high.
I think it is 10 total. So it's 4.5, 4.6, 4.8, and 5.1 is what I'm.
How can you even get by on 4.1?
I know.
It's not what it used to be.
Especially in Memphis. That's very expensive city to live in.
He can live across the border in Mississippi and kind of.
Well,
save
if he buys
dollars.
A house in Toronto, then that's where all his money goes.
So. Yeah, exactly.
A lot of money.
That was one of the strange ones where I think the story would have been fun, but I didn't like his fit in Toronto. Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, that organization is a bit of a mess at the moment.
No, they've got Scotty Barnes, and it's like that's not the kind of power forward that you want Zach near or next to. It's like that it just doesn't fit. I don't know. You need like shooting. Speaking of, like I think the two things I'm really comfortable saying is that I don't think Zach's just going to get a second contract. I do think he's going to get a third. Which is like, I mean, that is like by any
how many mark, that puts you at successful. What 8 to 10 years, right?
Yeah, and it kind of vests you in all of the you know, like NBA for life, whatever. And like, you become a real
you can get in all the clubs and stuff. What's that
exactly?
Mean?
Exactly, you get the jacket, you get the ring, the medallion.
Like, the GMs can do a little bit of magic with your contract once you get to like that 7 year mark. So, okay, so a trivia question for you guys. Purdue number of top 10 draft picks for Purdue. Does anyone know the answer to this?
All time.
Is it only two?
Because no.
When was Ivy? When
at
was
least
Ivy,
three.
Oh, at I least know. Oh, Jaden. Yeah.
It's more than you would think. I'll say that.
Probably like seven.
Oh, wait. You got G Rob too. I forgot him.
Yeah, exactly. And
Jay got it. It's like with
Ivy. Seven?
Seven.
I said that. You didn't hear me?
No, yeah.
I did.
Michael did.
So I don't listen to you. Ivy Robinson. Russell Cross.
Ah.
Joe Barry Carroll. And then we scroll all the way back. Dave Schulhouse. Terry. Yeah.
It's all the greatest hits. Yeah. It's literally just name all the great Purdue players and they were all top 10 draft picks. Amazing how that works.
It turns out they were good.
Turns out.
Rick Mount was one of them.
Do you guys think Purdue will just quit playing basketball in the next year or so?
I told you, like, if Purdue would have won one more game, they might as well shut down the program.
this is an old classic debate.
I get it because we haven't done a four man since the national championship.
Did you know Purdue played in the national championship?
It's pretty awesome. I can't stop smiling. Even if we lost, I can't stop smiling. But this is my point. There was like this question going, you know, this like Twitter engagement bait prompt that is like, you know, if you could switch an outcome of one of your favorite team's games, which one would it be? And a stunning amount of people forgot that if you could switch one game, Purdue would have a national title.
Yeah.
And they picked the FDU game.
What were
they picked
people?
FDU.
They picked FDU. Like there were a lot of people. Yeah.
Wait, where's this poll?
It was on the twitter.com, which is the best of websites.
It's almost like people have a recency bias and can't think like a goldfish, like they just keep hitting the side
of
the bowl.
Here's the thing. The national championship was more recent.
Oh, right. So that screws up my joke. Yes, you're right.
But guys, I'm convinced of this, and I've discussed this at length with LBD, that without – the loss to FDU, you have none of the magic this season. I mean, the whole it's a tear in time for Purdue basketball. Everything changes without that loss. Everything. Purdue goes to the Sweet 16 and loses, and you just go, "Oh, Matt Painter, that's cute." He loses in the Sweet 16. Zach Edey leaves probably. I think none of the grit that we saw this year, none of the anticlimactic, like, you know, yeah, we just beat the shit out of, you know, our first
Illinois on the road again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like that's the thing that's been bugging me. I've been wanting to say it to our audience. If you see these kind of prompts, hey, remember that Purdue played in a national title game, but several weeks ago. We can still measure it in weeks.
But I think that speaks more to the wounding that the FDU game caused, and the fact that, and I will defend Purdue fans because I think we are not that dissimilar. We're not dissimilar at all in that losing the title game did not feel like a failure of a season, right? No. I had a number of people, I don't know if we've talked about this live since then, but I had a number of people say to me like, oh man, sorry about Purdue. And I was like,
oh yeah.
I'm like, I'm not. But I'm not. And they didn't mean it. They weren't saying it in like a
shit. Exactly. They were
genuine, like friends of mine who were like, oh man, they were so close. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, you know what, dude, I just say to people now, they played in the title game, man.
And like, I think, boiler down.
If they'd lost to NC State in the title game, yes, I would have been upset.
Correct. But I think we get this more living outside of Indiana than you do in Indiana, right? In Indiana, everybody knows that this was a successful season. This was awesome. What a ride. Everything like that. Outside, it becomes like,
rings culture, right?
Yeah, exactly. So and it's like, the journey was incredible. Like, I mean, it was perfect. And now I would say it kind of culminates in this where it's like, man, like all of Zach's hard work. And that's the other thing. Like he wasn't allowed to draw fouls. Like we were talking about that earlier, but he wasn't allowed to shoot threes for the same reason that Carl Anthony Towns, like they're very different players, but both like excellent and at the top of the college game. Like Towns wasn't allowed to shoot threes either. And now Towns is one of the best 3-point shooters in the league. And so it's like, again, I don't think that Zach is going to have that kind of a shot.
You just predict that.
I think you will see Zach within his rookie contract shooting above like replacement. So shooting above 33% from three.
I like that.
I absolutely think so. His stroke is so sweet. It also gets him
the number one predictor of a good 3-point shooter. It's foul shooting.
Yeah.
Because foul shooting is all form. Right. And he is an excellent foul shooter. So I think that
I will counter you with one thing. I'm a pretty good foul shooter.
You're an outstanding 3-point shooter.
And I am an atrocious 3-point shooter. I am the streakiest 3-point shooter in the world.
You meet expectations when it comes to 3-point shooting.
Yeah. Hey, listen, it's like you're good at shooting them. Nobody said
no. Exactly. Yeah.
He can always come up. He can always come up with the best of them, man.
Yeah, exactly. Gunners. Those are my favorite. You know, that's my favorite player.
You're just shooting yourself out of a slump every game. It's fine.
Every game. Exactly. I've been in a slump for 49 years.
J Money and Boiler Down trying to make the same correct joke.
We were trying to get to that joke.
I think Greg, in the spirit of Greg McManus, who, because our guy's name in Dudes was a little bit rusty earlier.
Yeah, he came down on us for that one.
I know. I did see, speaking of Chuckers and our favorite Purdue basketball legends, I mean, like, Carson Edwards, what, just won? I think it was the MVP.
MVP.
In either Bundesliga or EuroLeague or whatever.
Bundesliga.
That Bayern Munich is playing. It's like, oh. I saw him every time I see Carson, I smile and I'm like, oh, that's the perfect basketball player right there.
Can I tell you guys something though? And this is kind of, I mean, I'm a little sad. Is he actually looks like a guy that's a little bit older now? Like it's kind of sad. Like time marches on, right? He had like charming Bruno Mars type thing. Like he was like a young looking dude. You're like, okay, yeah, he's gonna forever look young. And now he almost looks like he's aged. That's weird.
That's crazy.
Thanks for that. That was what this podcast needed, was a reflection on our old mortality.
We are going to
die. Look at my beard. It looks very gray.
Yeah. That's been a recent development. Like, I can't pluck out the gray hairs from my beard now anymore because then I just
You can keep
patches.
Doing it, but it's going to be like, old.
Very spotty.
Like, why does Anish have mange?
I mean, you get the dark hair, so it's hard to hide.
It shows up.
It starts coming through.
It shows up. I mean, my brother doesn't have these distinguished temples. His is more pockmarked throughout the whole thing. His is a little bit
younger.
More spread.
He's also young.
He'll get it.
By the way, the Lakers took Dalton Knecht.
Yeah. I mean, like, again, it makes sense that these teams that need these instant contributors, like I was saying, these teams that need instant contributors.
That feels like a good pick, doesn't it?
Oh, it's a great pick. I think it's actually a great pick.
Yeah. I think it's a great value, right?
Yeah. He was supposed to go, I mean, and he's absolutely going to be able to contribute, yeah, you know, right away.
Michael, isn't Dalton Connect like your exact NBA type? Am I right about that?
He's, I don't know.
I don't want to bring up a sore subject, but I think Cannon Catchings may be the closer prototype to what Michael loved, and you know, maybe that prototype has changed now.
No, it's still the same. I imprinted on me as a young child. It's what it'll be forever.
What am I missing? Connect has got good size. He's got a great stroke.
It's the length.
Good athleticism.
It's not long enough for Michael.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You got like a seven foot wingspan is what you're talking.
Listen,
about.
My ideal basketball player was Basil Smith.
Yeah, I remember you being excited.
That worked out great.
It worked out great. And he had like one game where he had like 13 points and two dunks, and I was like, yes, it's finally happening.
Hey, I think Cam Heidi might be fulfilling that destiny this year.
Yeah, I think the thing for me with Heidi watching him in warmups last year at the Penn State game and being like, oh. Like, about someone being able to do that, and then you see them.
No, it's so easy in warmup for him. Like, yeah. By the way, that's a nice – you just did a – and I know we don't like to – I shouldn't say that. I'm not going to say that on the air.
I love when he
Dalton Connect. Poor man's Dalton Connect. Cam Heidi.
You know, I
don't think so.
Why? Tell me why.
I don't know if he's got the shot, but he's got the athleticism.
Like, he does have the shot. I disagree. I think he's got the shot.
Connect is like automatic.
But let's not forget. Connect was a guy that really emerged.
Oh yeah,
up to the senior year, right? I mean, like, he really became a different level player after the transfer. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, like,
I hate to praise, you know, Tennessee for, you know, like anything at all. Yeah. But like, they found a diamond in the rough. I mean, like, we were talking about diamonds in the rough beforehand.
He was pretty good.
I mean, he was good, but it's like he was like a normal good mid-major. But it wasn't clear that he was going to be the second best player in the country.
What makes me happy is my enduring image of him is and forever will be.
Getting his shit thrown.
Oh, get it. Getting his shit thrown. Money, please. Bring it out.
Oh, the whole, yes.
Right there on my wall.
Like, that is, that is Dalton Connect to me. So, buddy.
How far Edie's body is from actually making.
It's so good.
It's so fundamentally amazing.
No contact. And he goes up because it's so
no
late.
Chance.
Because it's so late in the game, because of the situation, because Edie wasn't in foul trouble.
Now
he
you
can
gamble.
Actually go up and contest that.
Yes.
That play is why I'm so bullish on him, like in the pros, because it's like he's going to be six fouls.
That to me is such a big jump. And now you can say he doesn't have to play 38 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever. He can come in and go for shots.
He can just or play great defense and score 10 points. Right, right.
I love
it. 10 points, 10 minutes, like three fouls.
Can we ask something real quick? Michael, why do you hate Zach Edey?
It's a nationalist jingo thing.
Yeah, is it because you hate Canadians too? Is that what it is?
It's the they're always loud.
Are you wearing a Golden Knights t-shirt, by the way? Can we just stop the process? Is that a Golden
Knights? He definitely is wearing a Knights shirt.
I am.
You went to Vegas and bought that, didn't you?
Someone else went to Vegas and bought it for me.
Well, that's even worse. You don't even get fun stories or anything.
No, he's been in Vegas. He wears a hoodie to the pool.
Yeah. I do. Well, that picture was taken 8 years ago, and you're still referencing it.
It's not 8 years. There was a picture of him at the Caesars pool in like August, and he's got a hoodie on. And I said, what are you doing?
You don't get sunburned that way.
Literally 8 years ago. Anyway, so we're going to find out within the first 20 games what Zach Edey needs to work on, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think we're going to see the things to look out for are help defense, mm-hmm. right, and how he incorporates into the offense. Those are two pretty big things. But, like,
I mean, also to me, it's like, for players like Zach, who are like, you know, the going for that solid role player, like in the rotation things. The more important thing to me is, do the strengths translate rather than can they immediately, you know, mask their weaknesses? And so to me, it's like, does the size, the strength, the contesting at the rim, the, you know, defending the paint, does the rebounding, does the screening, oh man, like that screening. first lob he's going to catch from Ja, oh, it's going to be fun. I mean, like, and so it's like, do the strengths there translate? It's going, I mean, he's going to be in nonstop high screen and rolls with Desmond Bane and with Ja Morant. Desmond Bane is going to be more pick. Actually, both of them will be more pick and pop. But like with Ja, I think both of them are going to attack the rim, like, you know, with aggression. And that's
so Memphis was super fun last year, right?
Two years ago. Right. Because last year was when Ja was, you know, we don't
on and off suspension.
They were the opposite of fun.
They were like 27 and 65.
They were unfun.
They were unfun. Yes.
They would routinely lose like 8 games in a row. And that's not super fun to watch it.
It's not fun.
Two years ago, though, they were second. I think they were second or third in the West. I think they finished second in the West 2 years ago. I think they lost in the first round. And I think that was to the Lakers, I think, actually. So that was where, like, experience. I don't remember, but it was like, it was a more experienced team. So it was the Lakers or Nuggets that, you know, that beat them on their march, I think. But, like, you know, to me, it's like you see players like Connect, you see players like Edie going to these teams that need immediate contributors. Like, I think that is one of the benefits of the few but actual real benefits of this draft class being down plus the COVID year, is that you're going to see actually more teams taking, you know, known quantities rather than bigger swings.
By the way,
that being said, like Zach Risacher, like being drafted number one overall, it's like that's your signal where just put a French name on
That's what it felt like to me.
And it's like I don't see it with him, but again, I might be wrong. And so that's where I understand the frustration with potential, where it's like there are guys with potential, and then there are guys like Zach Risacher, and I'm like, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand.
I thought France had all that pastry. Why do those guys look like they all weigh like 75 pounds?
I know. It's all light calories.
Exactly.
It's a light.
Yeah, someone who's eating French food, it's not light calories.
Exactly. It's the cream sauces.
By the way, Anish, that's another thing that's taking up room in your brain. Because last year the Grizzlies lost in the first round in 6 games to the Lakers. So
2 years ago, yeah.
That's 2 years ago,
why?
Yeah. Sorry,
why? You pulled that right out. Why? Pulled
that right out. 51-31, second overall in the West. You had that right too, and they lost in 6 to the Lakers. I thought they won in the first round. I guess what it was I remember there was commentary that was saying like, here the Memphis Grizzlies have finally risen up in the number 2, and they got Ja Morant, and they got to play the Lakers, who were actually firing at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just kind of was like, that's a drag for them. But
there was a thing that I learned, speaking of pieces of information that will live in my brain forever. There was a thing that I learned, I think Seth Rosenthal tweeted it out, which was happy 40th birthday to all of the point guards on the 2015-2016 Dallas Mavericks. Deron Williams, Raymond Felton, and J.J. Barea were all born on June 26, 1984. Why will that live in my brain forever? I don't know, but that's going to take up room. That's going to take up room, and I'm never going to forget this.
Let me ask you guys a question. Okay. If we're going to be hypothetical, I wrestled with this idea 2 weeks ago on one of the quick casts. I asked the question, if I would have told you 5 years ago, Purdue would have gone to the national championship then had a two-time national player of the year, would you have believed it? I'd say nobody, no Purdue fan would have believed it, right? Maybe you believe a national player of the year in the next 5 years.
Well, the one bone to pick with that, I'll let you finish your question, That's 5 years ago. They're coming off of the near miss against Virginia. So
right.
I don't know.
And that's what I think. I think some Purdue fans would have said, they're going to go to the Final Four in the next 5 years. I would have thought that
but I thought you were saying if I told you they were going to go to the Final Four and have a two-time national player of the year, you thought that's unlikely.
Yeah. You would have thought it's more likely to get to the Final Four.
Two player of the year awards go insane. Like First, nobody, you think about that. It, and it's like, in my head, not it automatically Peru. Goes to, that's got to be two different players. And so it's like that two different Purdue players winning within a 5-year time period, let alone back-to-back years, like winning player of the year would be ridiculous, let alone the same guy doing it and coming back and winning it again, right?
Right. So let me get into hypothetical mode with you guys again. Okay. So pretend for a second now we're in a different thing, and I'd say, what would it take for Purdue to have a first-round pick in the NBA draft next year?
Oh, man, I don't know. Like, because again, it would have to be one of the freshmen. I don't see it being kind of one of the people.
There's no scenario.
I see. There's
Heidi would be.
I get stupid with this. I get gold colored. That's
Yeah. So Heidi would be the one, but to me, Heidi again has the red shirt year plus 2 years in college at that point.
Right.
And so to me, he's too old to be a top 10 pick. Like, someone like that. Again, if you told me Cannon Catchings did, like, I could see it. I hate to, we've got all summer and fall to talk about this.
Yeah.
But the Daniel Jacobson, the progression here, oh, it's going to have me getting stupid. I'm going to get stupid right now, because it's like, that dude looks I thought he was a red shirt. I thought he was like one of the clear. Again, it's like, again, I don't want to. Comparisons to the greatest Purdue basketball player of all time is, it should be few and far between. But I also thought Zach was a surefire thing to, to redshirt his first year, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, but these are the players that are like, wow, they're too. I don't care who you're starting. Like, Trey Kaufman ran as the starter, but Jacobson is too good to, to keep on the bench, right?
I think there's a very easy to believe storyline that Jacobson has a career like Klingon.
I wouldn't be shocked. That's why, if you told me
the skill set, right? With the skill set and the potential.
The frame. I mean, like,
Klingon. The ability to move, his timing is incredible. Like, he can pop out, he's shown he can pop out and shoot already. I mean, like, in international play. So
I absolutely think that that's a great comp. Like, Klingon to, I made, I think I was, there's obviously like the Kristaps, comparison, but like, to me, Klingon is a great one, because I think that is kind of the, the standard bearer for, like, what NBA teams are looking for, in centers right now. Now, Klingon is 2 inches shorter, but he's bigger. Like, his frame is bigger.
Yeah.
That being said, like, I think that Klingon was seen as a bigger project, and
he wasn't asked to do too much early in his time at UConn, right?
We don't, like, none of us are huge fans of Danny Hurley, future Knicks coach Danny Hurley, but like, just a phenomenal, like, it's the best program being run in the country right now. I mean, like, the development, development plan and all of that. It's like, it's the combination of, like, high level recruiting, high level development, and all of that. And so to me, it was like, that is, and to, like, I think you would still trust the Purdue staff with bigs more than you would trust kind of anybody else. And so, you know, like, giving a player like Klingon, like the next Klingon to Brandon Brantley, it, like, will be fun to, see how that works out.
Jacobson has, I just looked him up to refresh me on what he looks like. He still has that baby face, too.
Yeah.
It looks like I know it's because I'm old. It looks like I'm looking at a 14. Yeah. It looks like my kid.
Yeah.
It looks like he's 14 from, like, the neck up, and then he's 7'3". So.
I was actually thinking about that, because
that's the wild thing. He's still super coordinated.
Yeah.
Yes. A lot of hair on top. There's like a floppy thing on top.
That's the look right now. That's the look that I don't think.
By the way, we got a question over here in the margin that has little to do with the reason we decided to come on tonight, but from a guy named Vinny Sutherland, and that is the Vinny Sutherland, by the way. He says, any chat about new Walters recruits, and so here I'm going to give Vinny a little. I'm going to throw a bone out there. Okay, if I were going to compare one player on the roster to Vinny Sutherland, as a young Vinny Sutherland, a freshman, sophomore Vinny Sutherland, a guy with a ton of speed, ton of potential, could change a game with just a couple plays, I'd say it's Georgia transfer CJ Smith, and he's not it's not recruiting from Walters, but it's a guy Yeah. Yeah. It counts now, right? We're in a different era. And so a guy who can get up to speed in about two steps, if you've watched the spring game, if you've read about what these guys talking trash to each other about behind closed doors, who's the fastest on the team, there's a guy I'd like to talk about, and we will talk about eventually. And before we came on the air, Anish and I talked about this, difficulty of talking about football right now if you're a Purdue fan, because it's so funny. Someplace along the line, Chris Foreman and the basketball people are like, you know what? We're going to keep this conversation going.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this happened last summer or this summer. Regardless of what it has been so easy and nice to talk about basketball this summer, and so difficult to talk about football. Part of that may come from Walter saying, I don't really have my program identity in place where I want it, so we're going to control it, right? I don't know. Or it could just be like, okay, these two sports are handling things differently. But you are guessing a lot of the time if you want to talk about Purdue football right now. It could be educated guessing, but still guessing. When you talk about Purdue basketball, you're like, okay, we're dealing with facts and we're dealing with things we know, and we're dealing with a bedrock foundation and culture that's completely set. It's so, so much harder to talk about football. Hell, we don't even know what uniforms are going to wear next year and that type of thing. That just
makes me nuts. Yeah. Supposedly it's going to be new, but they're not. They still haven't
told us a thing yet.
You know, and part of this, we were talking about this, it is the difference between football, like, you know, football and basketball, but also the I would actually say it speaks to the program Painter has, like the uniqueness of the program Painter has, more than anything else. Because I think like the standard for a lot of teams, football and basketball, has become like, I don't really know who the players are. There's not much in football and basketball, there's not much turnover. There's a lot of turnover. There's not much consistency. You don't, like, a common complaint from people who aren't diehards, or like, we don't know, like, we don't get to spend time like with these players, like aligning them with the brands that are the schools, like, cause they're switching every year, or it is like kind of rapid rise and a quick like departure. Like, there isn't that consistency. What's funny about Purdue basketball is that in this like weird transition era of college sport, of college football and college basketball, like, Painter is just running the program he's always run. And
it's like, wild. And to me, that's such a crazy idea. So let's compare the two programs right now. And Anish, this is funny because one of the things you said you were most happy with Coach Walters coming in was, this is a young guy who is going to be able to deal with changes in the rules and stay hungry and not be like, okay, this is the way we do things, right? On the other side, you have Painter, who's like, this is the way we do things.
Yep, exactly.
And it's really possible for both to work. That's the wild thing. I know the sports are different, but it clearly is possible. But I'll keep saying this, and I don't mean to minimize what Matt Painter is doing and has done, but Zach Edey is such an equalizer, right? We don't know yet if the system of developing talent and growing guys up in front of our eyes continues to work without Superman there.
In this era, we've seen it for 15
years. Because men, right? These are boys playing playing men, right? So difficult. Look at Coach Walters. Conversely, look at Coach Walters. There are going to be so many guys all over the field that are transfers that have proven they can play in different conferences and can start, and they're in their third, fourth, fifth year out of college. It's their first year on Purdue's campus, right? Benny talks about over here that Purdue's staff is working harder than anybody, and I completely believe that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but Benny's connection goes down to the state of Florida. I mean, that's where his roots are. So Purdue's reach is going far, and I don't think this is like Tiller's era where you're like, okay, we're going to try to own the second and third tier in Texas. I think they're really casting a very wide net.
It also speaks to just Purdue basketball and Purdue football's place in the sport in each sport being different, right? Painter can do this because of the 15 years that were spent, 15 years or longer than that now.
Longer than that.
I'm old. Establishing a brand, right? And establishing a place in the sport. And Purdue basketball has better natural advantages than Purdue football, you know, does. And it's a better job. I mean, it's a much better job than the Purdue football, you know, job is. Like, I will contend that Purdue basketball is a top 20, like probably around the between, you know, 15th, 20th best job in the country, yeah. something like that. Just because the recruiting base, the consistency, the history, kind of all of the support, all of these kind of things. Yeah. And so there, it, like, it is interesting to be able to still like project Purdue's Purdue basketball's trajectory over the next couple of years, even when there are these strange defections and things like that. Purdue isn't, you know, immune to that. You know, the catching situation obviously is like pretty clear to it, but also that feels like the exception in Purdue basketball. And Purdue football is like, you know, it's tough to say, especially when I think we are in the top end percentage of fans, like of diehards, and even we are struggling to kind of keep up with, you know, the like football recruiting and the latest on the, you know, the roster and the strengths and stuff like that. And so again, it's much easier in the fall, but again, like I, until this moment, I completely forgot Purdue got not one but two Georgia wide receivers, right? And so it's like that is
you had a huge roads to Georgia. It doesn't I mean, like I watched an Oregon podcast yesterday because I'm just like, okay, trying to see what other people that spend too much time on their alma mater. But his podcast was about should Oregon be worried about playing Purdue on a Friday night? And I was like, okay, there's gonna be some arrogance in here. And so I watched this and I was like, this guy's done his homework. Like he's worried. He's worried about it. He's worried about it for multiple reasons.
I bet one of them is nobody comes into Ross, eh?
Nobody comes into
Ross. Exactly.
Oh, it's been a while. He knows that. Stretch out before I say that.
But the whole thing is like he talked about this weird road coming from Georgia to Purdue, and he talked about specific players being high four stars that Oregon wanted, and they couldn't get them to come across the country, and somehow Purdue got them to transfer in.
But and I remember that those following those storylines in December, right? December and January, like pretty closely. And then like it was basketball season. And so I was like, and we had something else to do.
Right.
But we don't have that connection to those players yet. We don't have the memories. We don't have anything other than like, well, this is a cool story. And I remember that. But even us like obsessing over this, it's a different place that Purdue football is in than Purdue basketball, right? And I think Purdue football is much closer to the norm. I think that is what most programs around the country are experiencing, whereas Purdue basketball, I think, is actually exceptional in that way. Like, there is that. Like, I don't know. Like, it would be really interesting 3 years from now where in this transition period of college basketball, like, who is the team, like, who are the programs that carried over the most minutes from year to year? And I will bet that Purdue ends up at near the top of that list, right? And so it's like that kind of speaks to, like, Painter is just running his program, right? And that is special. That is strange. That isn't normal. That's not how any other program does it, which includes programs like, you know, I maybe Gonzaga is, like, really the only other one, but, like, UNC, Duke, Kansas, Carolina, and Kentucky are all, like, huge turnover. Nova's not there anymore. Most of Nova's players play for the Knicks now. And so it's like, there's no team that does it like this. And so, I don't know. That's the fun part of Purdue basketball.
Have you guys looked over, by the way, speaking of Purdue basketball, some of the pictures from the draft party?
I saw Zach's glasses. I saw Gillis.
Yeah,
there.
He's wearing amber colored glasses, but there's some neat things here in, I love this one picture, and I don't know if there's more out there yet, but there's,
Who's tweeting it?
Boiler Ball.
Oh, okay.
But there's a picture, it's great, and it, for me, if I just reframe this large, wide picture, Zach's right in the center, okay? It looks like he's celebrating with some Dom or something. But in the deep distance, you have Burgess and Jacobson in the way back, and in the foreground, you have Brandon Brantley with his back to it. And I'm like, there's poetry there. There's beauty here. I kind of wish Berg was in frame. But on the right side of the photo, there's a familiar face who's now a Duke player. Gillis.
We don't have to talk about that. That being said, it's
for
like,
coming back for that, though.
Yeah, I mean,
awesome. I think these guys, I mean, like,
they love each
I don't think anybody begrudges Mason for going.
right? No, it's just nobody. It's Duke. No, it's,
and it yes, just, exactly.
But it's great for him. I mean, he's going to be absolutely. Like, it's awesome that he is still seen as one of the most valuable players, like in one of the most valuable role players in the country. Because like, you're going from Purdue, like the national runner up, to Duke, right? And it's like, you know, like if Duke wants you, like as their transfer coming out of Purdue, it's like, yeah, but I'll be Duke's feeder, you know, Duke's feeder program. That's not bad. But so, I don't know. Well, I love
me. Can I ask you guys a question? Because I haven't talked to you about it a whole bunch. Are you guys at all surprised by one, Jakari Harris is on the cusp, it sounds like, of making the Mexican national team.
That's cool.
That's really cool. He had 8 points, I think, yesterday in a scrimmage. That's cool. Oh,
sorry.
That's okay. Or is CJ Cox, the way he looks right out of the box, is that surprise you guys at all? Because I got to tell you, like, I looked at the recruiting class and I was like, I don't know how much of a role Cox will have right away because you're already rich. You're at this point combo guard thing with Harris right in front of you. But man, this could be really fun. The competition could be really, really fun right there.
The thing with I think CJ Cox committed about a year ago now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He was like a complete nobody. Like unranked by all of these recruiting services. And the instant Purdue offered him, he was one of those players that like vaulted into a 3-star the instant Purdue offered him. And the instant he took the Purdue, offer, you know what I mean? And that, you know, it was like, what is Painter getting too much dip on his chip? And then, Lance Jones came in and it was like, we wanted kind of higher on these lists of transfers. And it's like, does Painter, like, who is this guy? Do we really need him? He's kind of this defensive guy. We need shooting. And it turns out the guy knows what he's doing. So, the Lance Jones thing was kind of the cherry on top that kind of tells me that Painter truly does not. He has his own way of evaluating, you know, players and fit and culture and personality and skill set.
Yes, and one day he'll tell that secret to the world, but right now he's not telling anybody, and he does know something. There's something he's looking for.
The closest is that Dana O'Neill, like, story in The Athletic, which was really fun, but it's like there was, after the two-year kind of dip, 2013, 2014, or 2012, 2013, or whatever, like his philosophy in evaluating people changed. And like, I know that they came up like, and they talked about that survey and things like that, but there's more to it.
Oh, there's,
and it's
much
like,
more.
I want him to write a book about it after he's done, because it's like, that's the fascinating part to me. Like, that's why I love the coaching searches and stuff like that, is like, how do you identify talent? Like, how do you identify, the pieces that fit well together, not just the most talented, right? Yeah, and how do you know when to cut bait? How do you know all of this stuff? It is like a management book, right? And it's like, it's phenomenal. I don't understand how he knows it. And so it's like CJ Cox, the minute they're completely different people and players, but the minute Lance Jones worked out, it's like, oh, Painter knows what he's doing. So CJ Cox is probably a good player. So
yeah, it's crazy. They, I'm extremely pleased at seeing the way those two guards look physically. I mean, like, I've been watching Jakari Harris highlights and things he was doing, like when he was making his tour of like all-star game type stuff, mm-hmm. like he had a pretty long tour there. He won a 3-point contest. And I was like, wait a second. Nobody's talking about him as a bomber, right? Yeah. You're talking about him as a guy who can, he can play defense and he can play multiple positions. But I was like, oh, wait a second. And he's winning 3-point contests. And I'm like, and then you see, oh, he's got a 3.9 or a 4.0. And wait, there's a lot about this guy.
He's going to be great. I mean, this is going to be a great class. Like, even now, even if it's down to 5, like, this is a great, great class. And it's already kind of on top of the riches that Purdue's bringing back. So anyway, we're over an hour in. So this turned into a real basketball beat. Hey, Zach on Memphis, what a fit. I love that. Zach, top 10. The 7th, I think. I like that. The 7th, good work, Jay Money. The 7th top 10 pick in Purdue basketball history. I mean, again, not that it was, not that it needed anything more, but it's like, what hasn't Zach crossed off on the list of things that you have to do? Like, he's the greatest basketball player Purdue has ever seen. And to end his Purdue career, he goes top 10 in the draft. It's so cool.
I just saw an interesting factoid on the Twitters. And I didn't realize this, and I should, but time eludes me. Jaden Ivey and Zach Edey were the same freshman class. Mm-hmm. And so there have been three Big Ten freshman classes with two future top 10 picks. Do you guys want to guess what the other two were besides this one?
Like all time?
Yes. Big Ten freshman classes with two future top 10 draft picks.
Any Big Ten team.
So we're
okay, Zeller, I'm going to guess Michigan.
I'll give you this. What was that?
Zeller and Oladipo with Indiana. Were they same class? They weren't.
They were not.
Okay, I got one. Michigan State that won the national championship with
Cleves and...
Mateen Cleves and
There's one that's going to be really obvious to you if you go back to
Michigan Fab Five.
Correct.
Yeah.
91-92 Michigan, Chris Webber and Juwan Howard. Webber was first in 93. Howard was fifth in 94. And then there's one other one that's in the 2000s. 06-07 freshman class. I'll give you that. It's going to
Ohio
you.
State. Oh, obviously. Yes. Duh. Yeah. These are my guys. We're the two. These are my guys. Mike two. Conley and Greg Oden. Yes. I love them.
Look at that. Look at that shelf space in your brain.
So I know this because they were my class. That was my class. Okay. And I announced.
You were this close to being in that class.
I could have been. I could have played with them. I could have been Mark Titus, basically. So Greg Oden, by the way, is still like it is like LeBron James and Greg Oden in terms of the players that I have seen live that dominated to a level that I like could not imagine. Greg Oden, I was so convinced he was going to be so good. Just by the way, so he played for North Central, sorry. But I was announcing, like I did radio. And
Carmel's radio. Yeah.
Carmel's radio. And like this is in the McRoberts.
You get to call him?
I called a game. Because he was 1 year above. So I was doing like sideline stuff, which means that I was doing the post game interviews. And my first ever post game kind of sideline interview was Mike Conley. And that dude, it was the nicest person of all time. He was so cool. He like I was stumbling a little bit and then I kind of caught it up and like made something of it, but he was so patient. He was great. He's the freaking best. I love Mike Conley, man.
Is there footage of this?
And then it was deleted it was given away. My dad gave away the computer that all of that was stored on. I know.
So the Carmel Sports machine doesn't have an archive.
It may, but 2007 is like the Stone Ages. We invented the archive system.
Well, I don't know if I told you guys this, but no, I got
this would have been at, this would have been 05.
Worked the booth this year for a high school football game.
I know. We know you sent.
And
the
So that's going to be someplace in a decade when LBD has done important things like a niche. And there'll be people like, why is there an old guy in the high school?
Right.
What's this high school they're doing with a beard?
Yeah. What's going on with that? Yeah.
Those are the only two. So three classes with
three freshman classes that had two future top 10. It's kind of a weird.
That is awesome. That's a great factoid.
But it's so weird, right? Yeah. I don't even put Ivy and Edie because Edie had not emerged, but it just, you think back to the 4 year starter thing, like Jaden Ivey theoretically could have been playing with Zach Edey the last 2 years. Like
let's ask this question. Is there a guy on the roster, the Purdue roster this year that has a Ivey freshman to sophomore year jump?
I mean, it's Heidi. I think
that's kind of a similar role too, right? Like he wasn't.
It's off guard. I mean, like, so he's more of a wing, right? And so he'll get more of the defensive responsibility. But I think especially that was actually my biggest worry about Catrings coming in is that where are the minutes on the wing?
Right.
And so what you're going to have to do is push him to the four, push one or the other to the four. I think now this makes Heidi slide to his more natural three position. And I think he's going to be excellent. Like, I
think, yeah, and I struggled with that concept, honestly, as a guy who I was absolutely, you guys know this, I admitted it, I talked about it. The catching's potential for the Purdue program.
Oh, yeah.
Just based on who he was.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I love this guy. But when I looked at it, I was like, you need rebounding. And Painter loves rebounders. And like, I'm like, he's not that guy. Right. So you have to find a place to go get rebounds. So then you push Heidi out of the lineup to get first in or somebody like that, another big body. Do you move a 7-footer into the place? But,
or Bird next to Ren. You put Heidi in that rebounding role rather than, but yeah, it's, yeah, I think everything has a way of working out strangely. So I think that works, but, we were here to celebrate Zach Edey going top 10. I think we celebrated that.
We've
Zach
done it. Edey. We've done it.
Another trophy, I suppose, like another accolade, to go along with like the most decorated, like, basketball career.
It continues to be. Yeah.
I mean, like, among the most decorated basketball careers, like, in college basketball, right? Like, in college basketball history, going top 10 to the Grizzlies. It's a great fit. Memphis is going to be super fun to watch with him. I think he's going to be kind of a contributor, like a, 8 to 10 minute a game guy right away, which for a rookie 7'4" center, is huge. And so, like, I think he landed in a really good spot. That coaching staff is really good too. So it's a, like, that's the thing that you want, from these players, is like, you want Jaden ending up in Detroit is now kind of like a, it turns out that is not the most stable of situations, and man, so that's kind of a bummer. And so hopefully he gets traded, let's say, to San Antonio and becomes Wemby's running mate. Maybe that's what we can hope for. Yeah, right. But it's like, you hope for these players to end up in a place where they can contribute with coaching staffs that will develop them, and I think Zach did that in Memphis, so that's awesome. Any closing thoughts here?
Jay, you got anything? I got one for you.
Go.
This is real simple. I think we just closed out officially this season. and what an incredible season, right? I mean, like, this, it's there's one way it ends, like, more of a dream. There's one way, and that's it. There's, like you guys said, there's one game that can change the outcome, but I think that's, you could play that team 10 times and win 2 or 3, in my opinion. UConn was clearly the best team in America.
Yeah.
So to come in, there's somebody who joked about Purdue being, they're a championship, Purdue basketball championship t-shirts on Amazon. I've seen them. Well, that's true. They went to the championship. So technically they're not, it doesn't say champions. It says championship. Purdue went to the championship. They went to the Final Four. This incredible last 2 years where they flirted with number one and they dove in and they were number one for a matter of weeks, ends with an exclamation point with Zach Edey, the Zach Edey era in the Big Ten and in West Lafayette, with him going 9th in the NBA draft. What an amazing end of an era, and there's still gas in the tank.
For them. Oh, hell yeah.
In his pretty awesome. And Purdue basketball's, it's like, I mean, like,
awesome.
Everybody walks away from this.
Better.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Yep. And hey, we got to watch the whole thing, so that rules. That's awesome. Yep,
that's great.
Yeah,
great.
We got to root for it. So it was wonderful seeing you all. It's been a while.
Great seeing you guys. And I hope, I can tell you too, that many people every week, as I continue to try to find things to talk about, people want you guys, the three of us, talking at minimum. And Michael being here was a bonus. His content last summer, I hope he gets back at it, because it's, I mean, people loved hearing what he was saying. Like, the perfect accent to what we were. I mean, hell, last year we didn't do anything on
in Texas the accent.
So, Jay, Anish, incredible to see you guys. Incredible to celebrate something that I didn't think would happen. Meaning, 2-time NPO of the year, NPOY, top 10 NBA pick, Purdue alum, Zach Edey. I love you guys. Good night.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.